If it's warm outside but you're feeling colder, not sure what to do without a friendly shoulder, you're not alone, so start feeling bolder. Welcome to Bill Monty's Guide for Getting Older.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and welcome to Bill Monty's Guide for Getting Older. The oldest person in the world just turned 117 years old. I didn't even get her a birthday present. Sorry about that. But I have to wonder, you know, at 117, is that when you finally say, yeah, I'm old? Because people are living longer. The concept of at what age people perceive themselves as being old is starting to change. New research suggests that 74 is the new 71, which I don't find all that impressive, to be honest. I mean, 3 years, 74, 71. Tell me 74 is the new 54. I'm impressed. 74, 71, not as much. But it does show that our perception of when old age begins is changing, with most people believing that this phase of life begins later than it used to for them. According to a new study published in the Journal of Psychology and Aging, while the study didn't look at why this particular shift has occurred, experts say it does make sense, and that's not a bad thing. Humans, on average, are living longer than ever, some to 117, and examples of people living full lives well beyond retirement age are everywhere. Experts on aging, many of whom are already in their 70s into their 80s, they're not surprised, and they say it's part of a promising trend away from negative stereotypes about what getting older means. Now, if you listen to my last episode, The Invisible Generation, you'll see I don't exactly agree with the negative stereotypes. I think we're on an uphill battle here to still stay relevant in the minds of younger people and in just society as a whole in America. But what does this particular study say? Well, researchers at the Humboldt University in Berlin asked more than 14,000 German adults when old age begins. They posed this question 8 times over a 25-year period, quizzing participants when they were anywhere from 40 to 100 years old. At age 65, those who were born in 1911 said, on average, that old age begins at age 71. But when people born in 1956 reached the same age, they said that someone was old at age 74 on average. And it wasn't just a generational difference. People also pushed back their old age number as they themselves aged. So at age 64, people said that old age starts at 74. But by the time those people reached 74, they believed they still weren't yet old and said old age begins at just a little bit under 77. Women also tended to say that old age started later than men. And the older people got, the wider that gender gap grows. What I'm wondering today, in thinking about this person who turned 117 and in thinking about myself, is do middle-aged and older adults today set the beginning of old age later than the generations before them? You know, I remember when I was about 20, I was at a New Year's Eve party. And a friend of mine, about my same age, was getting, shall we say, amorous with the mother of one of our peers. And I remember thinking, dude, what are you doing? She's old. She was probably about 45 at the time. So my perception of when someone else was old certainly has changed as I've gotten older. But what about my perception of if I am old? I certainly am physically affected by being older. I can't do some things that I used to be able to do. And I'm not talking about what I used to be able to do when I was 25. I'm talking about what I used to be able to do just about 5 or 6 years ago. But am I old or am I just older? That's why this show is called Bill Monty's Guide for Getting Older and not Bill Monty's Guide for Being Old. Because I think there's a difference. So in the U.S., the average life expectancy is now 77 and a half. That's 5.5 years longer than in 1974, according to the latest CDC data. And I got to tell you something, again, that's not very impressive. So since 1974, we've only increased life expectancy by 5.5 years. And interesting to note that in Germany, where that study was conducted, the average life expectancy is 78 for men and 83 for women. I'm not surprised by that, considering how we live in America, based on how I assume they live in Germany. I've never been there, but I have to assume they're living better than we are because they're living longer. Maybe it's better health care. Maybe it's better diets. I don't know. But let's face it. These days, many of us know somebody who is 100 or at least in their mid to late 90s. In the past, you didn't know anybody who lived to 100. George Burns might have been it for everyone in the world. But they were there, just few and far between, so not as many people knew about them. So back then, when people were dying at 70, 75 more on average, we started to think of ourselves as old at 50 or 60. How many times years ago did you go to a birthday party or to your own party when you turned 50 and think, I'm old, I guess it's all over? Because culture tells us, on occasion, how we're supposed to be at a given age, right? But there are always people who are willing to ignore that, and they become role models for everyone else. I remember health guru Jack LaLanne from when I was a child. You know, he was on the comic book covers, the back covers. But he had a show in the early morning, I remember. And he wore that jumpsuit, and he would do exercises. I remember thinking at the time, wow, he is old. He was probably 55 or 60. But he appeared to redefine the concept of what old was and what older people could do. More recently, Jane Fonda comes to mind as someone who continues to push the concept of old age further and further down the road. Changing perceptions of what constitutes old age is good news, but not surprising, say experts. Catherine Esty, a social psychologist and author of the book 80-somethings, says that she thinks it's positive. She adds that how and when people think about old age is very powerful. People say, I'm older, or I'm aging, and they'll use that phrasing, but they won't say, I'm old. She says, if you have a positive attitude toward aging, you're going to live that 7.5 years longer. And 7.5 years, she's referencing some previous research that found that people who have a positive outlook toward aging live an average of 7.5 years longer than those who don't. Our whole American society does not handle old age well. We need a redo, where we all learn what it is really like to be older. By the way, Ms. Esty is 89 years old. People are mistaken, she says. They dread it, and they think they know for sure how it will be, and spend so much energy and money trying not to look old. I think that's important what she says there. They dread it and think they know for sure how it will be. It's kind of like you make that prediction, and then you live it because you've already predicted. Self-fulfilling prophecy. So for me, the key to aging well is not only believing that you can live a long and active life, because if you think life is over, it probably will be. And you'll have a tendency to withdraw from the world instead of interacting and trying to add more life to your years. You're going to need to stay a part of the world. Again, in the last episode, I spoke about how baby boomers are becoming a forgotten, invisible generation. But that can only happen if we let it. By reducing the negative stereotypes around aging, the world and our society would say, oh, look, look at these people. Look at what they're doing. Look at this community out there. Look at how they keep contributing in ways that are beneficial for everyone. So what steps can you take to live longer and push your personal definition of old further away? We're going to discuss that right after this quick break. Hi friends, Bill Monty here. Your support is so appreciated and so very important to me and to the show. I'd like to ask a favor. Please take a moment and hit that subscribe or follow button on whatever platform you happen to be listening to the show on, Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music, or the website. This will ensure that you receive information on new episodes and special offers. And best of all, it's free. Speaking of free, feel free to hit that like icon. And leave a review if you're so inclined. And be sure to join our Facebook group, Bill Monty's Guide for Getting Older. The party's just getting started, and you don't want to miss out. I do thank you. And now, back to the show. While a lot of what determines how long we live is out of our control, genetics and plain dumb luck play their part too, right? There are some habits associated with living healthier and, by extension, living longer lives. Now, some of these are really not going to be that mind-blowing for you. You've heard them for many years. But it's better to explore them, and let's talk about them. First off, get some more sleep. Quality sleep is regenerative for your body. It supports cognitive function and regulates mood. Now, I know, if you're like me, sleep means you go to bed somewhere around 10 o'clock. Somewhere around 1 o'clock, you wake up to, do your thing. And then you come back and you lay in bed for 4 hours wondering what you're going to do. And then you fall asleep. And when you have to wake up for me to go to work, you can't wake up because you haven't had enough sleep. Get some more sleep. This will help. This one was surprising to me. Eat more fermented foods. From kimchi to yogurt to pickles, adding more fermented foods into your diet could bolster longevity. Fermented foods are an excellent natural probiotic and great for digestion and immunity, says Maddie Dichtwalt, co-founder of AgeWave and co-author of Ageless Aging, A Woman's Guide to Increasing Health Span, Brain Span, and Lifespan. That about spans it all, doesn't it? So I'm all for that. Hey, I love kimchi. I'll eat that all the time. Pickles, yes. Yogurt, not as much. And you know, we said before that people in Germany live longer. Is sauerkraut, is that fermented? Don't they eat a lot of that there? Maybe there is something to this. The next one, if you don't know it by now, you never will. Avoid smoking and curb drinking. Yeah, nothing big there. Try research-backed workout strategies. Boy, you can find workout stuff everywhere. If you're on Medicare, chances are your Medicare Advantage plan, if you use that, has some kind of free plan for you to go to a gym or a local community center, and it's not going to cost you anything to go do a workout. Silver Sneakers, I know, is one that you can do that and that I use where I live. So, yeah, get out there. Take a walk. You know, don't just sit around watching TV. And the last one, make stress management a part of your routine. Now, I know, easier said than done, especially these days. All the news that we get, doesn't it seem like none of it's good? Don't you just watch the news, maybe hoping something good comes along? And sometimes they will, you know, squirrel gets rescued or something like that. But the fact of the matter is that long-term stress contributes to serious health issues such as a heart attack, stroke, diabetes, depression, migraines, heartburn, nausea, and so much more. Managing stress can be challenging, right? There are ways to control it, though, like meditating and physical exercise. Now, I know we have talked about this before, but if you're new to the show, I'm going to preach a little bit about meditation. And don't get scared. I'm not talking about sitting on the floor, which most of us can't do anymore, and sitting cross-legged and closing the shades and turning the lights off and sitting with your hands in some funky position like you're a Vulcan and then coming up and meditating. I'm not talking about that at all. Go back to an earlier episode I did in the first season where I talk about it. I'm not going into great detail about it now. But if you haven't, pick up a book called 10% Happier by Dan Harris. In it, Dan Harris used to be a co-anchor on Good Morning America on the weekends and was an ABC reporter, talks about how he got into mindfulness meditation. And what it comes down to is you just need to find a quiet space. And if you only do it 2 minutes a day, that's okay. And that if you can't fall asleep, if you're lying in bed at night, you can't go to sleep, meditation will help. It has helped me. When I saw Dan Harris speak several years ago at a conference, and he talked about this, and I bought the book, I can tell you it changed my life. And no, I don't get any kickback. I have no relationship with Dan Harris or 10% Happier, which is also an app. None of that. I'm just passing it on like I would to a friend. If I found a good restaurant, I tell you to go eat there. I'm telling you, meditation will help. And this takes the mystery out of it. 10% Happier, A Skeptic's Guide to Meditation by Dan Harris. So my final question is, going back to the one at the beginning of the show, when do you consider yourself as being old? What age? Are you already there? Or do you see it in your near future or your far future? Or will you be forever young? Oh, wasn't that a song, Forever Young? Will you be forever young? I know that physically things start deteriorating, but I think it's a state of mind. So stay young. Do silly things. Do the things that make you laugh again. Don't forget what made you enjoy life years ago. If you're not enjoying life right now, remember when you did. I know things can be tough. I know we face a lot of hardships and a lot of challenges right now, and I'm not trying to minimize those or downplay it. But we have to find a way to survive, right? We can't just throw our hands up in the air and say that's it. As a reminder, this program is for entertainment purposes, and any advice that I give you is based on my experiences. Before you take any action on any recommendation that I make, I encourage you to do your own research, since your situation is probably different than mine. Again, please take a moment to hit that subscribe or follow button on whatever platform you listen to me on. Be sure to come back in 2 weeks when we have another episode, and be sure to write or give me a call. You can write to me at BillMonty04@gmail.com, or you can leave me a voicemail at 754-800-3170, and I'll be happy to hear your message and get back to you if you leave me information so that I can do that. But if you just want to leave a nice word, I appreciate that, and you can do that too. Finally, always remember to be kind whenever possible, because, my friends, it is always possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Welcome to Bill Monty's Guide for Getting Old.